Dave and Darren and the top five things, a review of what we got done on our morning show, which is on weekday mornings. Is this right? 5:30 to 10 a.m.?
I'll tell you what we got done. A lot.
Yeah.
Boy, that's... It was all over the place this week. Over the place.
Now that it's done, you're right. Looking back and reviewing.
Very fanciful.
We did get a lot done. Good for us. Well, here it is. Now we'll show you our work. These are the top five things. Where to begin, Darren?
How about number one?
Number one.
And this should be obvious.
Okay, number one.
Number one.
They're calling it the crime of the century. Or maybe I'm calling it that.
Who, Supertramp?
Someone broke into a truck at a Walmart in Philadelphia. And there was, I guess, money in the truck, specifically dimes. They made the discovery yesterday morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. Police say someone took away from this truck that was parked in the Walmart parking lot. They stole 2 million dimes.
Wow.
So that's what? $200,000. 2 million dimes. Originally, they thought it was 1 million dimes that were taken. It was 2 million, as a matter of fact. Let's go to Philly, where, as you imagine, this story has grabbed the attention of the city of brotherly love.
But the big story on Action News tonight is new details in an unusual and very heavy heist in Northeast Philadelphia.
I mean, that's the thing. Think of how much lifting that is.
It's a lot.
2 million dimes? Wouldn't you make some sort of racket, too? Some sort of jingle jangle?
Police say someone broke into a parked tractor trailer overnight that was loaded with dimes. The coins have been picked up from the Philadelphia Mint and were ultimately bound for Florida. Detectives now believe the thieves got away with twice as much as they originally thought, some 10,000 pounds worth of the coins. Action News reporter Maggie Kent live now at the Walmart parking lot where this all played out. Maggie, that adds up to quite a bit of money.
Brian, the scope of this is just incredible when you think about it. Investigators think that this thief or thieves may have gotten up to $200,000 worth of dimes. That's 2 million coins.
Okay, but what are you going to do with them? Like, you've got 200 grand in dimes. What's the next play?
It's going to take a while.
Where can you even use a dime?
It's going to take a while. It's not.
How does this make any sense?
Thousands of dimes scattered and shimmering in a parking lot off Philadelphia Mills Mall. They spilled out of a parked trailer when thieves broke in.
They were trying to cross-load the dimes into other things to carry it away. There's dimes all over the parking lot.
The cargo, $750,000 worth of dimes, was loaded up at the Philadelphia Mint yesterday. Police say the truck driver parked here overnight, went home, and got some sleep before a long day of driving to Florida.
Is that the best idea, to leave all that money in a truck and just go home and take a nap? You got $750,000 in cash in your truck.
What's going to happen? Who's going to take dimes?
What, Kathy Matz's husband? He sleeps late when it's not the eagle season.
But when he returned in the morning, he found someone had broken into the trailer using bolt cutters and stolen hundreds of thousands of dimes.
It's normal in the trucking industry. Like, they would pick up a load. There's rules about how much you can drive, etc., so they have to get their required sleep.
Trucker Damian Luger says typically a driver stays with the cargo overnight.
If it has a sleeper, yeah, a bed in the back, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to stay with the trailer, so I'm not sure why he left it like that.
Yeah, see, that's my question.
It's a fair question. It needs to be asked.
If you put 750 grand in the trunk of my car right now and said, Dave, we need you to take this money to Florida,
you're going to stay with the car.
Yeah. Cha. I sleep in the car until I don't get this at all. There's something to add up here.
You say the cargo thefts have been an ongoing issue, both here in the Northeast and in South Philadelphia, with all kinds of goods stolen.
We've had lamb, chicken, TVs, refrigerators, etc. taken.
Water, ice,
wait a minute.
Tomato pies.
I don't get that channel. What is lamb, chicken, TV? Is that on the cozy? Tell me more about this lamb, chicken, TV. Is that
alcohol.
On? Is that on? Is that come with my Samsung smart TV?
You're watching Sherry Lewis on Lamb Chicken TV.
Now police are collecting the dropped dimes and surveillance video to try and find the culprits.
And if I was a banker and all of a sudden I heard that and somebody tries bringing in dimes, oh no, I'm being like, red button, sorry.
You're watching Sherry and the Colonel on Lamb Chicken TV.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Coming up next, chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
On Lamb Chicken TV.
I just don't know what you do with this amount
of... It's going to take a while to turn that into anything.
Because if you have more...
You keep showing up with those dimes, people are going to be like, you're the guy, huh?
If you're in Philly and you're paying for all your tomato pies...
Yeah, with dimes.
With fistfuls of dimes...
They're going to know. Because everyone's hearing about this story.
Right? I like how that woman assumes there's a big red button to push. If I see this, if they try coming into my store, I'm pushing a red button.
You got a red button.
Lamb Chicken TV, you know, I'm pushing a button there.
If I see that, I'm going to kick red buttons over here. Don't take it out on red buttons.
How is
it red? Red buttons isn't even with us anymore.
Never got a dinner.
I never got a dinner.
As you can imagine, the counting process for an investigation like this is extremely tedious. Detectives still trying to figure out exactly how much was taken. And of course,
you think that's tedious? Oh. Try fencing this stuff.
Believe me, the cops got the easy part of this bargain.
The cops, this is easy.
I would much rather count dimes.
Try to turn this into real money.
I don't know if you know this, reporter lady, but you can throw change in a machine and it'll count everything for you. You're there in Philadelphia, home of the Philadelphia Mint. There are ways to count big amounts of dimes. That's not the problem. The problem is, how do you move this?
Yeah, how do you?
If you're paying for, and like, okay, maybe you just, look, when you have stolen money, you don't take it to a bank. You don't take it to a store. You use it on the black market.
Probably,
yeah. All right.
But
so,
still, even the black market's like, what?
You think your dealer's going to put up with paying for your dope?
In dimes?
I got a wheelbarrow full of dope here.
What?
And so good, I got 5 wheelbarrows full of dimes.
What you're saying is you want your problem to be my problem now.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
None of this makes any sense. If it were quarters... That would still be a huge hassle, but it's
easier. It's
a little more doable. You can at least move to some degree.
Still a tough job.
Yeah, I don't know how you do this. This doesn't make a lick of sense.
Number two.
Number two.
Sometimes I pretend that during the week, I'm on vacation,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not.
Yeah.
Because then that way it's like, oh my God, it's already Wednesday. This vacation's flying by. It's just a little tool I use. Oh my God, this vacation's going to be over here soon.
The thing about vacations, it's you either can't believe how much time you have left or how fast it went. Like, oh, I got plenty of time off, you know? Like, it's Tuesday on your vacation time.
Yeah.
You're thinking, oh, man, so much more time off.
But it's already Wednesday.
Right, and then it's like, oh, no.
Oh, no, it's Thursday.
Oh, no, I haven't had nearly as much fun as I thought I should have had by this point.
Wait a minute,
my
it's Friday. I'm no better than anybody else.
Right.
It's when it's Friday, Friday evening. Or
we're all in the same boat.
We're in the same boat.
I don't like I'm this not, at all.
I'm nothing special.
Oh, man, I thought I was a big damn deal.
You're not.
Now I'm just like these dirt people.
Right.
I'm just like these unwashed Friday night hooligans.
Right. When it gets to be 5 o'clock on Friday, it's like, I'm no better than anyone else.
Oh, no. I did not think this through. 6:23. Is it too early for a Florida story? I don't think so. And this one comes to us from Tallahassee. I feel like we don't get a lot of Tallahassee stories. A lot of Daytona stories, ton of Tampa Bay stories. Tallahassee, for whatever reason, just doesn't happen.
Huh.
This one involves a Florida middle school teacher who allegedly was hosting student brawls in the classroom.
Fight club.
Middle school.
Fight club.
Fight club. Yep.
First, stop the bleeding.
A Florida teacher facing charges after she allegedly organized student fights there in the classroom. 23-year-old Angel Footman. Angel Footman.
Good morning, angels.
Allegedly allowed students to brawl in her classroom there at the Griffin Middle School in Tallahassee as she looked on from her desk. Great.
Peter Griffin Middle School.
I love the idea that she's up at the desk like Caesar at the...
fight!
The gladiators.
1, 2, 3, fight!
Let them fight. Now you're talking.
Uh-huh.
I'll just be up here observing from my desk. Look, I've got a lot of stuff I got to get done.
Finish him.
Footman allegedly allowed students to brawl in her classroom there at the Griffin Middle School while she watched from her desk. School administrators were made aware of the fights after videos showed three separate brawls in the classroom. In the videos, the teacher is allegedly seen standing nearby or sitting at her desk while the students fought. Students told a school resource deputy that Footman asked them whether they wanted to have a friendly fade before fights began. Footman would then lay out the rules by telling students no hair pulling and no screaming.
Well, yeah. The last thing we need is screaming. Truth be told, I don't care if you pull hair.
Listen, nobody pulls any hair.
No, nobody screams. And if you do pull someone's hair, no screaming.
Are we good?
All right. Get 1, 2, 3, fight.
Oh, yeah. No, I like that. I got to get to work on these papers now. They're not going to grade themselves. Students told detectives that Footman would limit the brawls to 30 seconds and also had a strict no phone policy during the fights. She even asked two students whether they wanted to come back during her sixth period to run it back. Oh, good God. That was good. I'd like to schedule a rematch here for sixth period. Are you guys available for a... School resource deputy says school records reveal the fights were never reported to administrators. When investigators spoke with this Angel Footman, she admitted that the fights did happen, but denied having a hand in organizing them. She told investigators she didn't intervene because, quote, the fights all happened too fast for her to do anything.
They were over. Before I could get to him.
It's over. It's all over. Down goes Trevor. Footman faces 4 counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. An arraignment is scheduled for her on Thursday, May the 4th. That's something else. All right. Let's discuss the rules. Everybody put your phones away. I don't want any hair pulling.
That is a very young person in charge of young people.
Yeah, it's a 23-year-old. Angel Footman.
Not a lot of experience.
No. Maybe that laid a hand in, let's call it, bad decision making.
3.
All right, number 3.
Number 3.
Number 3.
That's Killers on Real Alternative Radio, Planet 93.9. Killers will be the featured act on 2 for 2.
Nice.
This afternoon.
And you're trying to tell me that song wasn't on Pressure Machine.
Just a single, man. It was just a single. Yep. Back-to-back songs from your favorite artists every day at 2 for 2. You can find out who the featured artists are like I just did by going to the website at planet939.com.
Did it shock you?
Well, I mean, I kind of had some idea who it was going to be.
Yeah.
I might know the guy that makes those decisions.
It's like trying to tickle yourself.
Exactly. Two for Two is brought to us by Mason and Scott, their attorneys serving Illinois and Iowa clients and all kinds of legal matters. You should visit their website, masonscottpc.com.
Would you believe somebody if they said they could tickle themselves?
No. No, you gotta get locked up talking like that.
And then, like, it's like...
Here, watch.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's an odd claim to make.
Yes. That'd be like, so I understand that you like firecrackers and you're good at Google. And I can tickle myself.
Yeah, the next job interview I have where I'm asked to name a strength, I'm going to look myself. Him dead in the eye and say, I have the ability to tickle myself.
I don't believe you.
Watch this.
I'll show you.
Well, I get the...
Grab it.
Just lay on the ground.
Quit it. Oh, quit it.
Okay. Asking yourself to quit it. It's my favorite part of this bit.
Knock it off. Stop.
Quit it.
Quit it.
Now that would be good. That would be good.
You wouldn't believe them. If someone was even doing it, and it looked believable, mm-hmm. You'd be like, that's not real.
No, you can't. It's impossible. What you're saying is not possible.
Yeah, I know.
A week from tonight will be opening night for the River Bandits. First night game of the season.
I don't think that's right. No, it's not.
It is. No. You know how I know that's right? Because the Planet 93.9 pint glasses that we're giving away, one side of the pint glass is our logo. The other side, it's River Bandits opening night.
Their opening night was last Friday?
Nope. False.
It was.
False. You're going to tell me I got lied to by a pint glass?
Yeah, I think you got a pint glass that's incorrect.
Nope. You're incorrect.
No, they had fireworks opening night on Friday, the 7th.
It started early in the afternoon.
No, the Sunday game did.
Would you not ruin this for me? I have so precious little. The pint glass makes the claim that it's opening night.
That's incorrect.
Pint glasses have never lied to me before. Why would they start now?
Now, I will tell you this, what it is. It will be the first time they play on a Thursday.
I rest my case, Your Honor. Opening night.
Would you like to watch me tickle myself again?
That's what we're going to do. If they ask us to throw out the first pitch, we're just going to go on the mound and tickle ourselves. Uh-huh. Not each other. That would be weird.
And I could just overhear people right now, but I don't like this.
This is not what we paid for.
Granted, I was given these tickets, but I don't like this.
The pitch clock that everybody has fallen in love with, and I put myself in that category. I didn't think I was going to like the pitch clock. I love the pitch clock.
Sure.
Now, this has been a thing in the minor leagues for a while. The pitch clock has been at Modern Woodman Park for a number of seasons.
What, a couple?
Yeah. Now that it's in Major League Baseball, the games are going much quicker.
What is it, 26 minutes quicker now?
I think that's right.
Well, that's quite an improvement.
You have 15. A pitcher has 15 seconds to start their delivery if all three bases are empty, and 20 seconds if there's at least one runner on base.
Do you think that'll change at all? Do you think they'll modify it?
I hope not.
By a couple seconds.
Modify it to what? Give them more time?
A couple seconds more.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
I think everything you're doing is perfect. I saw on Pardon the Interruption, there was some debate about maybe getting rid of the pitch clock in the postseason. Boy, would that be a dumb thing to do.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, no, keep it. It's good.
Otherwise, we're going to be playing in January.
I understand getting rid of ghost runners in the postseason, but this pitch clock
is that what they're going to do?
Yeah,
do they do that?
They always have done that.
Okay, so that is just... And that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, there's no ghost runners in the...
In the playoffs.
Playoffs, but they do have them for...
The regular season. Okay.
Exactly. Because, right. You know, you want to get the games over with. The problem with getting these games over with, though, what a lot of these Major League ball teams are finding out is, after a week or so of it, we're selling a lot less beer, guys.
So are they letting people in earlier?
Even better. They've gotten rid of this seventh inning stretch rule.
So now it's...
Handful of baseball teams have decided...
Through the eighth?
Yes. Yes. Milwaukee Brewers. Of course the Brewers are at the vanguard of this.
Sure.
They are extending alcohol sales for an extra inning. So you have your last chance to pick up your beer through the end of the eighth inning.
Okay.
So until they don't stop selling beer
until this
in Milwaukee until the beginning of the ninth inning.
Yeah.
President of Business Operations Rick Schlesinger for the Brewers says this is reflective of the fact that the games are shorter. Obviously, the safety and the conduct of our fans has primacy. We've had no issues, but it's a small sample size, and we're going to continue to test it to see if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I know a number of teams, other teams, are doing the same thing. For example, the Texas Rangers have decided they, too, will stretch their booze sales through the end of the eighth inning. They say it's in an effort to maintain consistency and partly in reaction to the timing changes. The Brewers will be keeping an eye on fan behavior, and if things get increasingly unruly, they'll consider cutting sales off earlier in certain seating areas or throughout the entire stadium. Schlesinger saying here, I'm comfortable that our people are going to be monitoring the situation well and making sure that people who shouldn't be served won't be served regardless of what inning it is. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of fans behave responsibly. If it turns out that this is causing an issue, or we feel that it might cause an issue, we'll revert to what we've done previously. Yeah, the 25-ish minutes that they've cut off of games, you know, average opening day game was 2 hours 45 minutes. Last year, the average opening day game was 3 hours and 16 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we'll see who else is doing this, but yeah, I do like the idea of beer sales being extended. And it also lets me focus on the game. I'm not doing my sixth inning freak out like, I gotta go stock up.
I'm freaking out, man.
I can't have this.
Four.
I've got three examples of people going on Reddit and asking if they have somehow committed a faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
Am I in the wrong here? Am I the one being the jerk?
Did I do that?
That's what we should start calling this segment. Did I do that?
Did I do that?
I don't hate it. Am I a jerk for telling my coworker that my solo picnic is as important as her daughter's recital? I started working at a new company 8 months ago. I was headhunted specifically for the role that I have, which gave me enough power to negotiate my contract like I wanted. Uh-huh. One of the things I managed to get was a clause that prohibited my employer from contacting me outside of work hours.
Ooh.
Gosh.
Playing hardball.
I know. If it's a true emergency, they're allowed to send me an email. Otherwise, they can't even send me a text message.
Huh.
Furthermore, I have a separate work phone that I shut down at 5 p.m. on the dot. And I turn it on at 9 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is, I don't work overtime. I'm very efficient, so my work's done by 3. 5 p.m. if we have an emergency. I also take my whole lunch break outside of the office, and my coffee breaks are done away from my desk. My coworkers are not the same. They tend to socialize during work hours and have work left over for afterwards. They sometimes ask me to help.
Yeah.
But I always decline by saying I have plans. I don't go into details. I just say I have plans. These plans are 99% of the time just me going home, reading books, or sleeping. But that is my personal time.
I suppose so.
Monday, a coworker asked me if I could stay a bit later to help her out. Apparently, she was late with she was late with some essential work.
Yes.
But had to be done by that night because she had to attend her daughter's recital at 6.
Uh-huh.
I said that I was sorry, but that I had plans. It was a nice day, so instead of going home,
I was
going
to throw a blanket down and sit on the ground.
I just went to a park to read while breathing some fresh air. I brought some fruit and bubble tea and made a real picnic out of it. My coworker found me there, and she was mad. She said that if I couldn't have helped her, then I could have helped her if I didn't have plans. I said, I do have plans. This impromptu picnic
is my plan.
She said that wasn't as important as her daughter's recital. So I said that for me, it's even more important than your daughter's recital.
Well, speaks the truth. For me, it's more important.
She called me an A. Oh, and some of my friends agree. So am I the jerk here?
Oh, I can't wait to hear the response to this.
She had to edit this to give some more information because people were going off.
Yeah.
Like, for example, how did she find you in the park?
Yeah, why would she, if she was going straight to the recital?
Uh-huh. The park is small and near her daughter's school. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
She was,
so the park she is was right on top of the school.
She was driving by looking for parking when she spotted me and decided to confront me.
Oh, that's great. The park is right on top of the school.
Wow.
That's marvelous.
Yeah. You can imagine people are saying, you're living 1,000% in the black and white definition of your job responsibilities. If you're asking if you're wrong for refusing to change your boundaries, then no, you're not a jerk. But if you're asking if I'd want to work with you, absolutely not. But I don't think that's going to keep you up at night.
No.
Yeah, that seems like a lot.
That's fun.
At first, I started to really dig the whole don't call me after hours. I thought, good for you. But as it got on and on, at some point, you come off as a bit of a nightmare, right?
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. And helping out a coworker is not, you're not being a sucker. You're just being a human being. Right?
Yeah. It may even benefit you.
Yeah, right. This next one asks, am I the jerk for asking my roommate to leave the room whenever she cries over her breakup with her boyfriend?
Take it somewhere else.
I'm a college freshman, and I opted to go for a random roommate. Oh, well, that's... You're playing with loaded dice when that happens, right? The old random roommate, you don't know who you're getting?
Random!
I was matched with this girl named Donna.
Donna?
Oh, no. It's not that Donna, is it?
Donna?
This is my secret. I'm gay. I love wearing women's clothing. Remember this bra? These panties? Oh, I love wearing these. These were my dead mom's. And this is my tribute to my mom.
What I love most of that is it's no secret at all, any of this.
My favorite part of that is you managed to repulse the Jerry Springer show crowd. Do you know how hard that is to do? Those people have seen everything.
Uh-huh. Those people have scars.
I'm a college freshman. I opted to go for a random roommate. I was matched with this girl, Donna, and so far we've gotten along pretty well. Donna has a boyfriend, Malcolm, who she's constantly on the phone with. From the time she wakes up until the time she goes to sleep. A few weeks ago, I wanted to go to sleep early since I had an 8 a.m. midterm the next day. I told Donna this in advance, and she said she'd be quiet. I fell asleep about 9:30. However, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to the sound of Donna's scream crying. Literal screaming, like someone had just died. I immediately got out of bed and went over to see what was wrong, thinking something horrible had just happened. It took me a little bit to get it out of her, but she managed to tell me that Malcolm had just broken up with her over text.
Uh-oh.
I felt awful for her. No one deserves that. And I spent a while trying to comfort her, but she wouldn't calm down at all. She just kept sobbing and sobbing very loudly, which is very understandable since it was my understanding that they'd been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where I might be a jerk, though. Eventually, it started to get closer to 2:30 in the morning, and Donna still wasn't calming down. But I needed my sleep because I had a midterm in about 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested we both just go to sleep and revisit things later.
Yeah.
She just looked at me like I was insane and asked if I really expected her to sleep and then she kept crying. I knew it was unlikely she'd calm down anytime soon, so I very gently asked her if she could leave the room until she was able to calm down a bit so I could sleep. Again, she just looked at me like I was crazy and didn't say anything. Just kept crying. I repeated myself again, being as nice as I possibly could, that she could go to the bathroom or the laundry room to compose herself and come back to our room when she was ready. Finally, she just got up without looking at me and stomped out, still crying, and I just went back to sleep. When I woke up from my midterm, she was back in her bed sleeping, but since then, Donna's hardly said a word to me. Am I the jerk here? She says, I couldn't go to a friend's room to spend the night because most of my friends live in dorms that are farther away, and I'm not crazy about walking by myself at night in the city, and I also don't want to bother my friends in the middle of the night on such short notice.
You're better off without Malcolm.
Well, Malcolm's not her boyfriend. That's what you would tell this the crying girl who can't get it, keep it together?
Yeah, enough is enough.
Yeah, that's a lot. Could you maybe go cry somewhere else? I don't have a problem with asking somebody.
Go crawl in a dryer.
Could you go cry in the laundry room? Because you're really... The vibe in this room right now needs to be sleepy vibe.
Yeah, sleep vibe. Mm-hmm. Darkness and sleep.
Mm-hmm. Last one. Am I a jerk for asking my friend to stop pretending her stuffed animals are real? I'm 31 years old and my friend is 30. She's nice and she's very sweet, but a little immature. We met through work several years ago. She has a collection of stuffed toys, some from childhood and some she's bought throughout her life. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I still have my stuffed toy from when I was a child. However, my 30-year-old friend still plays with them, which, again, that's totally fine if that's what you want to do. The problem is she'll play with them when she has friends over, and she'll almost force you to interact with her stuffed animals.
Play with it!
For example, recently we were talking about our mutual friend's bachelorette party, which is happening in overseas in Sweden. We were discussing which airline we should fly over with. She then took one of her stuffed toys, a stuffed eagle, and said, well, he can just fly us there. Ugh. And then she started acting like the eagle could fly. I laughed at this and took it as a joke because whatever, it's a quirk. But then she put the stuffed animal on my knee and said, tell him he can take us there. Tell my stuffed animal eagle that he can take us there.
Say it. Say it.
Things like this happen regularly, and I mostly just go with it because whatever. Yeah. She likes it, and it's no big deal. Anyway, last night, I went to her place because I got mugged over Easter.
Wow.
And it shook me up, and I wanted to talk to her about it. I go over, and we ordered a pizza, and we started talking, and I start telling her what happened. And she immediately grabs a stuffed bear and goes, bear will get them. I just ignored that. And then she goes, do you want bear to get them?
You're not taking my mugging very seriously, are you?
Tell bear you want him to get. Wow. Wow. I said, no, that's a stuff.
Cuckoo.
That's a stuffed toy, and what I could really use right now is an actual conversation.
Uh-huh.
Bear will get them. Do you want Bear to get them?
You want George the Bear to get them?
Well, she got really upset when I said that Bear was a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
And she just shut down and stopped talking to me, so I got up and left.
Yeah.
Am I the jerk here? I feel like it was said in a not nasty way. And I don't think it's too much to have a 10-minute conversation with a friend without any toys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Might want to rethink this one.
Mm-hmm. She says, the mugging that happened over Easter was not violent. It was a moped drive-by type. The guy in the back grabbed my bag from my arm as I was going through it, but it still shook me up.
Still.
Yeah. That's something else. I don't.
Hey, Fruit Loops.
I mean, that's a lot to unpack. People make odd choices who they hang out with, you know?
It's true.
Like, if you had a buddy and he wanted you to come over for beers, and you're there having beers, you're talking about the ball game, maybe you got the Bulls game on tonight, and he gets like a Benny the Bull doll, and is like, tell Benny the Bull you want him to win tonight.
How many years did we have Larry on the show? Let's not.
So he was kind of like our stuffed animal?
Let's take it easy on everyone.
Wake up, stupid.
That'll do.
Number five.
Number five.
Uber, the ride-sharing app, dealing with allegations that they somehow charge you more money when your battery's about to die on your phone. I got a lot of questions about this one.
They have that information, huh?
That seems like something they shouldn't know, right?
Yeah.
Uber fares allegedly linked to phone battery levels.
I wonder who brought that up. It's like, you know, it'd be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
People that are in distress.
They're not going to be as...
No, they're gonna pay whatever it takes.
Yeah. Ride-hailing app Uber facing accusations of adjusting prices based on customers' smartphone battery levels. Specifically, some users have reported seeing varying fares for identical trips. They're saying there's no connection between battery levels and pricing, but users are wondering why...
But prices, that's a good idea.
Why would prices differ for the same journey? Well, I mean, different times they charge different rates, right?
Yeah, that's true.
This guy conducted a test using two smartphones, one with an 84% battery and the other with just 12% battery life.
Yes.
He requested a ride from an office to another part of town. The results showed a significant price difference. Oh, so he's doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, that is different. Okay. Yeah, you charge it a little bit more.
Yeah, I got proof. Proof here, folks.
Yeah, that's crazy. Uber refuting the claim that battery levels influence pricing. When contacted about the results, one of their spokespeople said Uber does not take into account the phone's battery level to calculate the price of a trip. The dynamic pricing applied to trips booked via Uber is determined by the existing demand for rides and the supply of drivers who can respond to it. During peak hours, when there are many ride requests and few available drivers in a certain geographical area, this may impact the price of a trip. Okay, so if I take two phones and I say, okay, I want the same route, and I order it on Uber, mm-hmm. and they're not the same price, that's because you have supply and demand. There's a second phone that wants something that somebody's already getting. So I think I get why the price would be different. Uber's explanation, it says here, does not clarify why two users requesting the same ride at the same time would pay different fares. In any case, the price discrepancy may encourage others to compare offers on their phones when they're booking rides together. So, like, mm-hmm. if you're going somewhere with a buddy...
Yeah, I'm there, you're there.
Right. The way it always works whenever I use Uber is whoever's turn it is to get the Uber gets the Uber.
We don't both.
If we all order the Uber at the same time, and then we just say, okay, whoever has the lowest price is paying for the Uber...
I don't care for this.
Well, I don't know. I do kind of like it.
Maybe it's kind of like gambling.
I know.
It's a little
bit of action here that I need.
Bat. I'm trying to go high. Go high. Go high.
All right. We play Uber Roulette. Lowest Uber. Fare pays.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. I think I dig this.
Sure you do.
I got to have the action.
I know you do. You're hooked. You're hooked, I tell you.
Well, if it's always the battery with the lower level that's getting charged more, I'd need to see what the sample size is here for this allegation that they're making. Because it also makes sense to me that if you and I are asking to go to the same place at the same time, of course the price wouldn't be the same. Because
one just affected the other.
Yes. These things aren't happening in a vacuum. If more people want to go from one place to another, then the Uber drivers know, okay, we've got a little, what we call in the game, a hot route.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, do I want to play Uber roulette so bad now.
I got nowhere to go.
Oh, man, my next trip back home at a Sox game?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to introduce the idea of Uber roulette.
Yeah. Bat, bat, bat.
Oh, my crew's going to be all about it.
Sure they will.
Hey, we're going to go to another brewery.
All right, Uber roulette.
Everybody, these are the coordinates, and we all press send at the same time, and go. Uber roulette.
And go.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's the name of that tune. Those were the top
like
five things. Yeah, right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading and subscribing. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope to get him.
Until we get a chance to do this for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities. Representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport. Yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out. Come on. And it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah, they keeping it hot.
So long, Screwy. See you in St. Louis.
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.
Vaya, con Dios.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.